The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Oh, shit. Before you do anything, guys, I need to plug something really, really important. This Friday, the 24th of March, is the first ever Lavery's Comedy Club Friday gig. What? Grab both my teats and milk them? Friday gig at Lavery's? Unbelievable. Sean Hegarty is doing support, a.k.a. Rodney, up in this bitch. He's going to be opening, as himself, obviously, doing the wonderful one-liner jokes that he does. That's going to be amazing. I'm emceeing, as usual, at Lavery's Comedy Club, the all-new look Lavery's Comedy Club, where the audio is goddamn perfect. The sound is amazing. They got a new mixer. They got a new sound system. They got new seats, tables, fucking new decor, new lights. Everything is fucking god. New signage. There's giant signs. Lavery's Comedy Club. I do not believe what is happening to me right now. Oh my god. I've lost a wee earbud. What a piece of shit. And headlining, the wonderful John Colleary. If you don't know who that is, sort your fucking life out, okay? You need to go on and type in The Savage Eye or John Colleary and watch some clips of this guy doing stand-up. He's coming to Lavery's on Friday. One of those things, you know, I've seen him in a load of places and you think, like, oh, he's a real serious, you know, top-of-the-line comedian. You know, he'd never play Lavery's. And that sounds like an insult to all the people who do play Lavery's, but sure enough, you just have to ask people and they're like, yeah, I'll do that. So I'm excited to have him at Lavery's Comedy Club, and you should come too. Friday night show, all you folks who are like, I can't get down on a Wednesday. Well, now you can. Get down on a Friday. Huh? Get down on a goddamn Friday. It's doors are at 8:30. Tickets are £8, and it's going to be sweet as fuck, guys. That's all I have to say. Lavery's Comedy Club, 24th. Get that inside you. Let's start this goddamn thing.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get yourself and your soul together. This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Colin Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. Yes! There you go, guys. Sweet intro from me. Welcome to the podcast. I am dying with something. We were at London at the weekend there, and something has shat in my actual throat. You know, was there anything to do with being up all night drinking? Why bring that up? Let's start with the usual general banter. Let's start at the beginning, guys. I was plugging Lavery's before the intro. Our last Lavery show we had was the storytelling show, the pre-St. Paddy's Day riot, as we like to call it, where I bring up comedians and we tell sort of themed stories. And I think it went really well. And I think that we could do that again. Just bringing people up, telling stories. Just all sorts of goddamn madness, really. Aaron McCann is a wealth of mental stories. You know, Alan Irwin was there, nearly making people sick. Paddy McDonald was there. Never short of a good shit story. It was one of those ones where I was like, let me do most drunken story ever. Let me do most embarrassing moments. Let me do all that shit. And shittest story ever, which was like, you know, a funny time when you've shat, nearly shat, been shitting, needed a shit. You know, funny stories like that. And sure enough, every single person was like, here, you want shit stories? Give you 20 shit stories in a row, bro. Don't worry about it. Here we go. Shit Central. So that went very well. The new Lavery setup is just an absolute dream. Now that we're about 3 years deep, the Bar finally... Well, I say that like the Bar were under pressure to do anything. The Bar didn't have to do anything. They let us use the place, all that shit. But I think they realised, like, well, this comedy is really getting a few people through the door here, and we're selling a whole pile of drinks, so let's kind of get behind that. You know, so that's what happened. So cheers to everyone who come out. Cheers to everyone who continues to come out, because the nights are getting so much fun. So much fun, guys. And it's just a joy to be a part of, other than the running of it and the stress that goes hand in hand with running a comedy club. Fuck knows how. Now, this... I remember, like, doing gigs in, like, the Stand and stuff, and... yeah, full-blown tuberculosis. I mean, this is why Aaron McCann is always coughing his head off, because he's out 5 nights a week, you know? And then you get the 30 and 2 nights in a row, and you're like, well, you basically have AIDS now. In fact, AIDS, at least you can treat AIDS, is what I'm saying. Is what I'm saying, guys. So what the fuck was I talking about? What was I talking about there? Oh, yeah, I've been in, like, the Stand and stuff, and, you know, these big chains of clubs, and you're like, how the fuck do they run this every night? And then you go, oh, I know why, because they have an office with, like, 10 people in it. That's how they run a comedy club every fucking night. You know, I'm running one now 3 times a month, and I'm, like, about to have a fucking stress heart attack up in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? It's tough going. Especially in Northern Ireland, where there are some very funny people, but, you know, you go somewhere else and there's fucking a waiting list of about 200 people to get into your club. You know, there's no shortage of comedians whatsoever. Good ones, too. I feel like this is going to be such a nightmare, me coughing all over the place tonight, but today. But we'll get through it. We will get through it. Let me advertise our sponsor real quick, beer52.com. You're probably sick of hearing this, but it's the main sponsor at the minute. You know, if you want to sponsor the podcast, jump on board. Even if you know someone who's like, I want something mentioned. You know, there could be a one-off sponsorship type deal. It's online forever at the end of the day. You know, you forget about that. Beer52.com is the main sponsor of this podcast. If you want craft beer delivered to your motherfucking door, sign up. They send you 10 beers every month. And if you use the code BANTER10, which is the unique code to this podcast, you get a tenner off your first box. So, and there's snacks and magazines and all sorts of shit in it. But, you know, why not? Why not do that? Think about the amount of money you spend on shitty pints. Go and get yourself a box of, like, exciting, weird beers. You know what I mean? Pour them out. Go, that's nice. Why am I blocked after 2 sips of that? Oh, it's 14% beer. Oh, no, give us 24 tens of tenants. Fuck off, mate. Get some of that, beer52.com, use the code BANTER10. That's it, that's all I had to say to you. And that's it, done for the rest of the podcast. So there you go. I mean, the main event last week was we were going to London, as you well know, for St. Paddy's Day. Which is weird being out of Ireland in general whenever St. Patrick's Day is happening, because you're in London and the most you're going to see is, like, the odd person with, like, a fucking weird hat or so, you know what I mean? Or, oh, here's a guy in an Ireland top. That's it. There's no trace of it whatsoever. And then we ended up going to the gig that night. By the way, we did not talk about fucking stress. I mean, there's a level of, you know, I wanted to make vlogs and stuff, and then there's just a level of, I don't have time to press fucking go on this camera. It was that intense. First of all, we left way too fucking, you know, me and Maureen we're terrible at leaving on time. There's just there's a mental block where it's like, yeah, we're going to leave at 12. And then it's 20 past 12 and you're like, oh, we're ready to go. Yeah, you know, you send like 12 and you'd be like, yeah, but we'll be okay till half 12. And you're like, we absolutely won't. We have a flight to get. Do you know what I'm saying? So we're supposed to leave about 12 and it ended up being like, the flight was at 10 past 2 or something. It was literally about 20 past 12. And we're like, okay, well, we may as well fucking go. And I was like, I need to get petrol. And Maureen's like, nah, you'll be all right. And we're like, okay, just fucking floored it the whole way. Oh my God, messages. Floored it the whole way. And then, what the fuck is that? So we floored it the whole way, and then we just got stuck behind some bullshit on the way to the airport. And I was like, if we'd have left the time we said we're going to leave, this would be fine. You know, we would have allowed for this shit. But we're literally like, yeah, the gate closes in fucking like 15 minutes, and we're stuck behind, it was like a lorry behind a fucking tractor behind about another 30 cars. And I was just like, oh my fucking days. And that road to the airport from our direction is super busy on a Sunday, because there's a load of fucking boy racer types go down there and deaf all around them, don't they? Fucking deafened by it. So anyway, it was just this mad thing, and I was in the middle of a round, you know, and you're just like, yes, it's your fucking fault, you should have left the fucking brr. And then I just caught this roundabout and started heading around the roundabout. Maureen's going, where are you going? You go left. And I was like, oh my fucking days. And just took the wrong road off the roundabout and had to drive till I could find a place to turn. And then I was like, well, as if we didn't need to be delayed anymore, here's another fucking... At this point, it was like, that maybe took 2.5 minutes for me to... Not even... No, that's an exaggeration. It probably took a minute for me to go, fuck, that was wrong turn, drive up a wee bit, turn, go down, go around the roundabout and head the other direction. That probably took less than a minute. But at the time, I was like, fucking hell! And then we eventually made it to the fucking car park, just Louis C.K. style, just let the car just roll into a wall. Bye. Run on in. And sure enough, you know, St. Paddy's Day, a flight going to London or back, you're not going to miss it, because it didn't even leave on time. The amount of fucking people trying to get on the plane, it took a goddamn lifetime. Fuck. So anyway, the whole day was like that. We get to London, we get in the Gatwick Express. It takes fucking forever. You know, it's a handy service, but, you know, let's face it, Gatwick is to London what the International, or Belfast International is to Belfast. It's counting miles away. So fly in, get off, get our fucking oyster. It was literally one thing after another. Another, mate. It's like the world just punishing you for being a lazy cunt, for not getting up early enough. We're like, yeah, you're in a rush, are you? Go buy 2 Oyster cards, boom, hit the machine. Card doesn't come out. There's a guy standing there. Sorry, mate, bought 2 Oyster cards there. The second one didn't come out. All right, no problem. And this guy, like, it was an insight into just the absolute manic London lifestyle that you could, like, it was just fucking chaos. This guy was on the phone, he's like, yeah, number 42, there was give a card, stuck behind a machine. Yeah, well, it's Mikey free, if you could send him over now. Yeah, it's just there's a customer waiting here. Yeah, can you tell 31 to these bloody blah, and they probably should review their the way that they provide the service for the customers here, because there is a person waiting and they shouldn't have to wait. Da-da-da. All right, tell 83 that he has to come down here. And there's fucking, this is on a walkie talkie, and you're just going, these cunts don't even know each other's names. Do you know what I'm saying? It's so fucking chaotic. Fucking chaotic, mate! It's just so chaotic that, like, they just know numbers, and this woman come up and she's like, what seems to be the problem? He goes, yeah, these customers have a card stuck behind the machine. And she goes, okay, did you tell, like, 51 about it? He goes, no, I was informed that, are you 47? I thought you would have the key. No, I'll go and see if 86 has the key. Okay, and she fucks off for a minute, and you're just like, what the fuck? What is going on here? Then this dude comes over, he looks like Ian Wright, and punches the shit out of the machine. Like, this is whatever, number 53 or whatever his fucking name is we're waiting on. And he comes up and he goes, oh, this is the guy. All right, no sweat. And he just fucking, just hits the machine. He goes, that's weird. I was like, is that a tip for next time I come to London? I'm just going to walk up and beat the shit out of some machines. And you're probably thinking, you know, could you not... Do you not have 10 minutes to change that machine? You know, get a new one. This is the underground. Make it happen. And it's obviously like, they're like, no, when the fuck are we going to do this? There aren't enough seconds in the day for us to pull this machine out and change it. It was so crazy. Eventually he goes around the back, gives us a card. Right, see you later. That took about fucking 20 minutes. We go get some tubes. We fucking get out at Shepherd's Bush, where we're supposed to stay in this fucking Hilton. And then we're like, right, where are we to go? Get over here. And we fucking sprint over. This is, our flight was at like 2:10, apparently. It didn't leave to about half. And this was honestly like The amount of time it took us to get through the tube and everything, I was like, fuck me, this is not as handy as I thought it was. And then everyone we spoke to, we were like, okay, the guy was... And then, of course, you get to the hotel, and it was taking fucking ages. There's like a couple in front of us, they couldn't speak English, to the guy who barely spoke English behind the fucking desk. And they're going at it, and I felt like just leaning over and going, can you check me into my fucking room real quick? Because I'm in a rush, basically, and these cunts can sort this anytime. But sure enough, come up, and what's your name? And blah, blah, blah. No, you've been upgraded to an executive suite. And I was like, dab, get me in the fucking room right now. Go up in the room. And I swear to God, the show was at 7. Like, the show, our fucking show was at 7 o'clock. And we're in the room, and we hadn't eaten all day. Both of us are fucking starving. You always have these ideas in your head, like, yeah, we'll just get there, and we'll have a wee bite to eat. And all. Shane was texting, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to eat here at a certain time if you want to meet with me, you know, and I was like, it ain't happening. I was like, we're going to have to meet at this fucking gig, and you're going to have to go on first, and I'll probably not even be there yet. Oh my God, death. So we just rushed, got off at the, you know, you imagine if you're near Leicester Square, and you get off at Leicester Square, and turns out, no, Shane was like, oh no, you get off at Tottenham Court Road or whatever. And I was like, fucking hell. So we actually got off the tube about a mile and a half from where we had to. And it said you could walk it in 11 minutes. And I was like, right, by the time we get down on this tube, get in the next tube, go. And we'll have to get out and walk from that one too. We could just walk this in 11 minutes. Which isn't a big deal ordinarily. But at this time of night, I was like, right, we just gotta get there. So we start fucking walking. Now, 11 minutes, you know, in a straight line on an empty street would be grand. 11 minutes on a London street, which is absolutely heaving with people, and you don't know where you're going, is a fucking nightmare. And we're fucking sprinting. Anyway, we find this place. We're about to run down the stairs, and I'm cursing away, and Aaron's out the front, and I was like, fuck me, what's going on here? And this wee guy, Franz, who ran this, he was like the manager of the fucking Museum of Comedy. He's like, are you calling? Oh, and he like shook my hand. He's like, okay, we'll go down, and we're going to have to start because these people are here. And then sure enough, good old Northern Irish crowd. It didn't start about 20 minutes past when it was supposed to start, which makes me sort of think, like, is it just Northern Irish people in general are fucking slow as shit? You know, excuse me, the comedians that you've paid to see are about to perform now. You can fucking wait, the cunt. I have fucking 2 pints here, which I paid £7 each for. You can fucking stand there, fat baldy cunt. So I literally bolted it down the steps, and I'm like just pouring sweat. Like fucking... I'm like, what is going on here? What the fuck? Can we start this or what? And just, Aaron went up and bought beers, and we just started cranking through these beers. Still hadn't eaten anything yet. It was a fucking disaster. And that was, by the way, unbelievable gig. And very, very overwhelmed by the amount of support that came out. A load of people in London loving it. Just, I think they enjoyed the gig a lot. And the worst hecklers were English, which is weird. But I enjoyed that night. Shane said he didn't have that great a time. Oh my God, because, I don't know, he said he just never really got started in that room, whereas by the time I got on and there were a room full of rowdy bastards, I was like, this is my sort of thing right now. So I had a great time the first night, and then we had a pile of beer, and me and Maureen walked about for a second, and it was fucking so weird, because we came out of the gig, walked around. By this stage, we're like, you know, we literally hadn't eaten anything, and she had like some shitty protein bar in her bag that we'd a bite of, and then we're walking around, and we're like, oh, where do we go here? And there was a pizza shop that looked like the guy was sort of closing up, and I was like, are you closed now? And he goes, no, come on in. And I was like, all right. It was just because it was totally dark inside. It was one of those places where it's like, yeah, it's all dark and, you know, sexy. And it was so weird because there was a table behind us of comedians, like open mic or comedians, and they were talking, like, you know, about some guy's performance and all. Yeah, it's not that good. There's something missing in a set. They were talking away. And I was like, how weird is it that we just come over here, you know, like, and they're doing a gig in a pizza place, which couldn't have held more than about 6 people, and I guarantee it was dead. You know what I mean? It's like, I guarantee it was dead. And us fucking assholes come over from Northern Ireland to play a fucking riotous, sold-out gig at a Museum of Comedy. And these guys are beside us, like, just talking about the reset. And anyway, we had this pizza in the dark, which, and by the way, this is a weird thing to notice. Me and Maureen were sitting there and they're like, you know, you've done your drinking. I was like, I can't fucking put any more pints in my body, especially when I haven't eaten. And I was like, can I have a Diet Coke, please? And this Diet Coke, me and Maureen were like, this is the best Diet Coke I've ever had in my life. There's a lime in it. I was like, this is wonderful, isn't it? I feel like crying. And then on the way out, the guy was like, oh, here's a leaflet for half price pizza if you want to come back. And we do a comedy night here if you want to come back to the comedy night. And I was like, oh, right, funny you should say that. We're doing a comedy gig tonight. And he's like, oh, yeah, where? And I was like, yeah, we played the Museum of Comedy. And he had that sort of like, all right. Look on his face. And then I was like, sure, we'll do that gig tomorrow night and we'll bring everyone around here for half price pizza. And he's like, no worries, which didn't materialize, but you know, you make these plans when you're drunk and you're like, that'd be a great fuck. In fact, more plans that I made when I was drunk. I met, I don't know what he is. I think he's like, as he said, we share an auntie. So he's kind of like my second, third cousin or something. Paul, he lives in London and we met up. Hadn't seen him in fucking ages. Had a great chat, talked a wild pile of shit. And he's like, yeah, I've got this place booked tomorrow and I'll give you a fucking address. I must text him, I don't remember. And he's like, come on out and, you know, we'll watch the rugby and all this shit because Ireland were playing England. And I was like, that sounds fucking brilliant. And then you forget, like, see London, it's almost like you need to get the hang of living in London for anything to happen, according to... I was just like, we didn't... Not only did we not make it out to him to watch the rugby, we didn't get to see the rugby at all. We fucking had a bit of a lie. Well, not really a lie, but we went for lunch. Sorry, I went for breakfast in the hotel, which, by the way, my sister works for the Hilton, and she was able to upgrade us to, like, the executive lounge. And, you know, I like that shit, but girlfriend Maureen is like, oh no, this is how we live now, if that's okay. If you could make that happen, call. I mean, I don't really care if you're in here at all, but make sure that all the experiences I have in hotels from now on are like this. You know, you basically go in, sort of buffet breakfast as like normal, but you can order, you know, if you want something fresh, like an omelette or fried eggs or whatever, you order that and then you throw the rest of your food on. But there was just, you know, everything you wanted. And then there was just like this executive lounge, so it does free drink at certain times and whatever, but you can literally you can literally go down, like, say you were in your room and you were like, do you know what I fancy? 15 bottles of Fanta. You can just go down, beep your card, walk in, pick up 15 Fantas and just take them back to your room. And everyone's like, yep, that's what they're there for. You've paid for it. And I'm like, no, I didn't. Just go down and be like, you know, I'm sitting in my room with, you know, 105 bottles of bitter lemon. You know, for what? Don't even drink gin. Don't even drink vodka. But it's there. I'll take it. Sure. You know, go in. Do you want a cappuccino? I'll take it. See you later. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Maureen was like, I do not make me eat with all those fucking peasants next door ever again. You piece of shit. Fat bastard. So we out there, we fucked around for a minute, got dressed, and then headed out about 12. And we were like, listen, how much fucking walking around shopping can you do? Well, you can walk around for days and not really do any shopping, is what we figured out. We went to Camden, walked around, very samey. The food in Camden's pretty sweet, although we just had an enormous buffet breakfast. I was like, I wish I'd have come here hungry, because they had fucking everything. Katsu fucking hut, doing that katsu curry shit in a bap and all. It was fucking ridiculous. There's a guy had what looked just like, it looked like just garlic chips and a diced up steak that was kind of medium rare. I was like, what in the fuck is that? Probably some Brazilian stand or something like that. And we, by the way, this is all sort of vlogged. Hopefully I'll get it edited and out. You can see some of the shit we did. And we did that, and then we went and met up with Shane. We went for some food at this point. He googled best chicken in London, and we ended up in some place called Ma Plucker, which, it was one of those places where everything was delicious and the chicken was alright. You know, got the fucking, you know, the sauces and the waffles and the fucking fries and all were delicious, but the chicken was like, I'll make you fucking better chicken than that. It's alright, like, fuck me. Maybe I got the wrong thing, I don't know, probably did. So we went there, and then I was like, I just want to... By the way, I'm 100% the worst at packing. Just terrible at packing. And just brought the wrong shit. You know what I mean? I bought one new t-shirt that I wore on stage. And then the next day I was like, I just have bullshit t-shirts. Because London is just warm everywhere. And I was like, I was going to wear this t-shirt I wore last night. I'll just plaster it with fucking aftershave. And then I went out. And you run around all day just sweating your fucking bag off. And then I was like, let me buy a new t-shirt. And just couldn't. You know what I mean? Everywhere I went in, I was like, can you do a bigger size than large? Because large ain't going to cut it with this motherfucker. Meanwhile, everything I wanted to do when I was over there, Aaron McCann seemed to do. He's like, oh, I bought a fucking pink Carhartt jacket and went and had some Vietnamese fucking pho. Or fucking pho hai, as he was talking about. And I was like, I wanted to do all that shit. And instead, I had two chicken nuggets and just ran around sweating, trying to buy a fucking t-shirt. And once again, by that stage, it was like, we have to go to this gig. So we got there about 6, trying to get the rugby. The best we could do was Shane had the rugby on his phone, on the radio, I think. And I was like, right, me and Maureen were like, right, need a coffee. So we went out for a coffee and we ended up going to the Ply, which was the pub we went to the night before with the majority of the members of the crowd, which was amazing. Just walking from the gig, just round to the Ply, it was tremendous. And then we watched like 10 minutes of the match and then I was like, right, it's literally 5 to 7, so we're going to have to go around here. So we went back around to the gig. just started drinking again, and I went on first that night. It was weird because what I enjoy and what Shane enjoy are two very different things. So like, he enjoys an attentive, you know, responsive crowd, and I enjoy borderline chaos. You know, not too out of control, but at a level where you can get away with really rough shit and you can slobber at them a bit and they'll laugh really, really hard. I enjoy that. Whereas I think Shane enjoys the more, you know, just attentive crowd. Whereas I went on first that night and I came off and I was like, oh, well, it's weird that you went from yesterday to one of the most enjoyable gigs ever to tonight, which I thought did not go well for me at all. But maybe, I don't know, maybe the people that were there did enjoy it. It's hard to tell. They did laugh and stuff, but you know, you enjoy that big fucking burst of laughter. Probably from the night before when they squeezed more people in than they actually really should have. But fuck it. So then we started drinking, caught up with a few peeps, chatted a bit of shit. You know, it's just funny when you're in London and you're talking to some girl. She goes, oh yeah, we watch your videos and da-da-da and us here. And she's very pretty, you know what I mean? Hope this guy's not listening to this podcast, but she's hot as fuck. And she's like, my boyfriend's from Northern Ireland. And I was like, where are you from? And he was like, I'm Lauren. And I was like, oh my fucking days. It's a bit like, you know, one of the ones where you're like, see at home, I don't even know if I got the guy's name. He's like, see at home, I'm just Brian. But see when I'm over here in the big smoke here, I'm sexy Northern Irish Brian with my sexy accent. And this is my girlfriend. Who, let's face it, I'm fucking batting well above my average here. Don't worry about it. But you know what I mean? I'm just like, here, do you know Jamie Dornan? That's pretty much me, but in Lorne. You know what I mean? Tying bitches up, spanking them and whatnot. I can do that to you too, pet. Don't you worry about it. You ever seen the fucking piano fairy down there? I own that. But I was talking to them and then... oh, shit. Maureen's... with our cousins, second cousins. Brendan was there, and we went out drinking after that to some little place. By the way, we stayed in the Museum of Comedy for a long time and had a great old time with Franz, who ran the place, and Melissa, who was working the bar, and who was from Italy, who was like, oh, I'm coming to Ireland, can you tell us where to go? And you've never seen people more stumped in your life. When you actually ask someone from Ireland or Northern Ireland, like, oh, that's the same place, Colin. You know what I mean? But like, they're like, oh, I'm from Italy, where should I go in your country? And you're like, what do you drink pints, do you? Tell you what, you can go to fucking, where do I go? In Ireland? Do you like bowling? Because the Odyssey's wild crack. If you want to go to the Odyssey, you got everything under one roof, you know. Get your drinks there, you can play bowling, you can play air hockey, you can play, go watch the ice hockey, in fact, and then you can go down to the box there for a rave, you know. It's great, great crack. Titanic, do you ever see that? Biggest failure of all time, I built there. It's weird when someone actually stops and asks you that question. You're like, the go-to shite, you're like, Giants Causeway, which is the biggest boner killer in the world if you actually get that fucking place. But anyway, we fucking chatted shit and had a bit of a laugh, and then Franz was like, do you want to see something cool? And he took us out the back and he's like, do not broadcast this on your podcast. And I'm like, here, listen, what happens in London does not stay in London with this cunt. So he takes us out the back and he's like, do you know what that is? And I was like, well, he was, that's Gokwan's house. And I was like, all right. I don't know what I thought that you were going to show me there. They're going to show me like a dead body that you found in the alleyway. And you're like, nah, mate, Gokwan lives in there. And I was like, cool. Very cool. Yep. Cool. And then we just went drinking and God damn it, it was a goddamn mess. Absolute mess. Just in this wee small bar. It was cool. It was actually the perfect place to go. Do you know, you could go to like a big club and get lost. This was just a cool bar, nice and dark, and they were blasting tunes and just fucking dancing around like dickheads, drinking a lot of whiskey. And the next day but by the way, we got some fucking some of the people we met was crazy. It was all, do you know what I was talking about, the guy from Lauren? There was a lot of just Northern Irish guys with hot foreign girlfriends who obviously don't know, you know, it's obviously just that sort of Irish, I say charm, some bullshit, just like, well, daughter, just fucking, oh, I just look at them fucking James. I don't know, but they managed to pull all these hot foreign girlfriends, and this girl was talking to me, she goes, you have very kind eyes, and I was like, what? I don't even know what that means. He's like, oh, she wants to say something to you. And I was like, what is it? You have very kind eyes. I was like, I thought that I couldn't see my eyes because it was like a wee fat Vietnamese pot-belly pig where you have to like pull their skin back to see their eyes. I don't know. But it's just a fucking, I'm literally getting this like terrible flashbacks about it. But anyway, we're getting this fucking Uber, which Aaron's mate rang, Tom, fax me an invoice because I definitely owe you money. Unless it's like absolutely ridiculous, in which case that's your fault for booking it for me, silly. So, fuck's sake. You have kind eyes, fat man. Is that the foreign way of going like, you're horrendous looking cunt, but you're alright, you know what I mean? You're dead on. Tom books us a fucking Uber there. We get in it. I didn't know an Uber was like a black taxi in Belfast. They'll just pick people up on the way just to fucking get more money. Not that any of us could do anything about it. Maureen, I'm pretty sure, fell asleep immediately. He stops outside this real wee fucking like fancy club and these two girls get in. One of them literally was texting and fell asleep like head first in her phone. Just like down the way. And the girl in the front. Now, meanwhile, this guy was like, there's definitely going to be vomit going on here, but so I'm going to open all the windows. So we're driving along, just wind blowing through the window. And every time I got one of these fucking things, I put Google Maps on because I was like, I feel like this cunt is going to be just driving around in loops to get money. So just driving around. And I swear to God, this girl in the front is like in the most, like, sorry, this is ridiculous, overdramatic way, is going like, you know, like she's about to be sick out the window and then stops it with her hand. But she just kept doing it. And the guy's like, are you going to be sick? And she's like, and she could just manage to stifle this vomit every time she went to do it. And no one was really awake other than me and this girl barfing out the window in the front. So I was like fucking killing myself. I was like, this is the funniest shit ever. And then we, you know, it was just whirlwind, like, I don't even remember the taxi stopping, and then the next minute, we were just, like, awake in the morning, just like, what is happening? Had to just get packed up really quick, and the two of us were still drunk, and then we just got back on the fucking tube and headed back to the goddamn airport, which is a fucking nightmare. Just, oh. See, waiting on flights and flying when you have a hangover, it is the worst thing in the world. And I knew rightly that I absolutely just stank a drink. And then, you know, well, flight from London's like an hour long, but it felt like it was fucking like a 7-hour flight to fucking Dubai. It was a nightmare and roasting. Never again, London. Never again. Fair play to anyone that can live there. It's a fucking, it's a nightmare. Just every, it's just like everything takes forever and takes 50 quid. You know, it's like, I want to go here. Allow yourself 3 hours to get there and allow yourself 150 quid before you set foot in the place. And you're like, oh, right then. It's just, it's just fucking hectic. And then I came home and then, of course, you know, we had to go straight out for Maureen's dad's birthday dinner. And he was dying too because the rugby was on the night before, which at this point I was like, was that on yesterday? And only because it felt like it was 3 weeks ago, but I don't know. So there you go. There's a long-winded, shitty story about London. And the whole time, you know, Shane's been there before and he just glided through it. He just danced on through that trip. You know, you're going out drinking, Shane, you coming? No, I'm going to watch Match of the Day. And you're like, ah, you boring bitch. But who's laughing now? You know what I mean? He's at home, probably doing a face mask, feeling great. And I'm here just like coughing up things that just look like they're about to hatch into something else. You know? Unbelievable. Let's talk news, guys. Martin McGuinness died, which is no surprise at all, seeing the last time I seen him on TV, he looked like full-blown shit. I don't know what he died of. I told you this before, I was at my granny's house and my auntie was there. And my auntie works with, in an old people's home, basically. And so does her daughter, my cousin. And she was like, yeah, he's got like some heart disease going on there. Because she's just like, I've been around people like that. And you start to, you get that weak, it sounds like me right now, sick. You get that weak voice. And yeah, just, it didn't look good for him. And of course, Facebook erupts into just fucking chaos. There's nobody can be like, just reasonable, can they? Nobody can just be like, I mean, the general thing was like, maybe he was a bit of a fucking hellion back in the day, but then how could you not be if you were in somewhere like Derry and it was being overrun by hashtag the Brits? You know, you would probably do the same. But yeah, I suppose there was good work done towards the end of his life there. So I don't know, but people are just fucking losing their minds. Of course, Cool FM made the mistake of going like, sum up your Tuesday in 3 words. And everyone was like, Martin is dead, fucking you. Which I don't get, like, why people react like that when people die. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's gross no matter how it happens. You know what I mean? Like, even the most horrendous cunt ever, you know, like when they, was it the Gaddafi one or something? You're like, he's such a horrendous cunt. But then when you see like, oh, you see this like fucking 7-year-old man getting beat to death, you're like, there's something not cool about that. Even though he's a cunt, you know what I mean? Like, I know he's a fucking lunatic cunt and has done some hectic things his whole life, but you're like, that's not, I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, good. Take some fucking joy out of that. Even if you hate someone who dies, you kind of just have to be like, well, that's him gone now, so. Which kind of makes, you know, let's really get happy about it. It kind of makes war and hatred and all that sort of stuff not really worth it at all. Because eventually you do that for so long and then maybe a person does die and you're like, well, that was over and could have been a lot more fun if you could just avoid all that shit. You know, but Facebook is an embarrassment today. You get to see what people are really like. So, I mean, it's a bit like that O.J. Simpson thing. We watched that. If you haven't seen that, Made in America, watch that show. It's fucking unbelievable. Just gives you this full insight into, like, it's just good. It's just interesting to watch from a historical, like a sort of modern history type thing. You know, about the race riots and stuff in L.A. and how that was tied into his fucking thing, even though it definitely shouldn't have been. They were trying to equate, like, the Rodney King beating to, you know, O.J. killing his wife and getting off. They were like, ha, that's payback for the thing. You're like, well, hold on a minute, they're not the same at all. You know, you had a black guy being beat up by what were supposedly white racist cops, and then you had a guy in O.J. Simpson who was black but wanted to distance himself so much from his fucking blackness that he mainly hung around with just rich white dudes. Then he kills his white wife, and everyone's like, ha ha, that's for Rodney King. And you're like, you're talking about the guy who fucking nearly enough fucking denied that he was black. I don't know, it's fucking weird. But at the end of, you know, it was one of those things, like, even though he by the way, definitely did kill her, Jesus Christ, you know, definitely did kill her. Even when you see like him in jail or whatever, and they fucked him on the last one, like, he got away with it the first time because his fucking lawyers were a bunch of snakes, and then they all died really soon after that, so whatever. But it's just like, it's fucking, there was something sad about it. We were just like, oh, look, you're just going to jail now, you fucking dickhead. You know what I mean? You literally could have had fucking whatever you wanted, even if your marriage fell apart and your, you know, whatever. Everyone still loves you. You could have done whatever you wanted. And you're like, nah, just was a fucking psychopath who hated losing or being humiliated and couldn't deal with it because he's a fucking egomaniac, and then just goes kills his wife. You're like, you could have just fucking cruised through the rest of your life, mate, having the best of everything. And then you just fucked it up. There was something quite sad about it, even though you definitely killed her. Like, I don't know how the fuck he got off. That's lawyers for you. They're just heaping it on with all these other things that don't matter. You know, I don't know if she was brought up at all. They're talking about race and da-da-da and all this here shit. No one was like, yeah, but you still hacked your wife's head off, essentially, and stabbed the shit out of this other dude. Bit weird. Bit fucking weird. Just complete sociopath, like, egomaniac. Cheating in golf. Cheating in, like, shitty games of golf and all, just because he's like, I'm fucking O.J. Simpson. I don't lose. You know, I'll fucking cheat all day, bitch. You don't fucking get one over on me. And nobody, I don't know how the fuck, I don't know how the fuck did he get away with it? It's like, literally, if you have the money to pay these fucking corrupt lawyers, they'll get you off with anything. And apparently it was costing him like 50 grand a day in court. And he's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Just get me off. But like, I don't know. See, if I was a lawyer or whatever, I would just be the sarkiest cunt ever, or a judge. They'd be talking all this shit, and I'd be like, yeah, cool. Why is your car covered in blood, mate? You know? Oh, I wasn't there, I wasn't here, no alibi, and did all this other shit. Yeah, I get that, but, yeah, your car's covered in blood, though. Why is your car covered in blood, mate? Both your blood and the blood of the two people that have been found stabbed to death. Why is your car covered in blood, though, if you were nowhere near it? Just fucking crazy. That's all I would have kept saying. Cool. I know that this cop over here might be racist, and he, you know, we're thinking that he may have planted something in your car. Yeah, whatever, yeah. Your car, though, covered in blood. So, why is it covered in blood, though? You weren't supposed to be there. Why is your car covered in anyone's blood? You know? Yeah, your car's covered in blood, though. Just mad. Fucking madness. But watch it if... Just... And I mean, it's fucking... It's like... Those race riots were crazy. Because I know there's like... You got those cops who are racist as fuck. And there's such a fucking injustice there when the people who are supposed to be your, like, police force, like, protecting you, are just blatantly racist and are going out and, oh my God, I sound like I'm crying, are doing like weird shit, to, just doing horrendous things to black people. But then the backlash is black people, we're just trying to get their own way back in any way possible. So they end up just fucking going nuts, and which is probably perfectly natural if you fucking look at it. Like, but just that guy that was dragged out of the fucking truck and like hit in the head with a brick, and you're like, why? What the fuck? What good was that doing? And also, you're just destroying your own fucking neighborhood right now. It was crazy. It was just fucking crazy to watch. So there you go. There's the recommendation. And I don't know how I got from Martin McGuinness dying to that fucking shit. Like, but yeah, he's dead. Let me just. There is a video here in the background of. You've probably seen it. There's no sound on that. Shit one. It is basically a giant, fucking giant chicken. I'm going to Google that. Hold on a second. Google.com, you bitch. See if you buy an authentic Mac keyboard. Does it have a delay? Because I've bought this other piece of bullshit. Like, what do you call it? Like, Bluetooth goddamn keyboard here. Let me type this in if this is correct. Chicken. Brahma chicken. Chicken breed. The Brahma is a large breed of chicken developed in the United States from large birds imported from Chinese port of Shanghai. The Brahma was principal meat breed in the US from the 1850s until the 1930s. Now, get me one of them. You know, I don't want this fucking, none of this four quid chicken bullshit. And it's tiny. Get me one of these. I'll pay 20 quid for one of these motherfuckers. Big giant chicken tit. I mean, that's probably what they should use for meat, right enough, though. They'll probably take ages to grow that big. But that is fucking enormous. The world is freaking out over this goddamn chicken. You've probably seen it. A buff chicken? What's that? Let's get a look at this. That's big too. It's the feet. It's the feet crack me up, because most chicken feet are just like, you know, made out of skin and sort of pink. And this fucker has big old hairy feet, which makes it look even scarier. That's terrifying, because chickens are essentially dinosaurs. Fuck that. Fuck that. Carry on. Anyway, that was a weird tangent to go on when you can't hear anything there. What else did I see this week that fucked me off? I seen, was it called Fight for Billy? Is that what it was? Let me just look up this Fight for. Who's ringing me there? Who the fuck is that? 0843. Kiss my asshole. Why do people, where is it, Fight for Billy group? And I think that was it. I could fucking be wrong. But essentially, I think there was this mum who was doing like a 150-mile walk or something as like a bit of a protest against the fact that she has to travel to fucking LA to legally give her kids cannabis oil because it's the only thing that treats as epilepsy and it's illegal over here. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here? You know what I mean? It's like, how could anyone, I know it's illegal, but you're like, why? You know, you're making a doctor, you know, bullshit people by going like, yeah, I get that that's the only thing that really helps your kid without giving them a pile of chemicals. But, you know, it is illegal. I hate that shit. It was the same as the fucking, like, abortion thing. You're like, are you literally gonna be just sit and watch, wait and watch people fucking die until something's legal? It's nuts. Because of these fucking, like, churchy ball bags in the way. Well, you can't do that. That's against our Lord. And you're like, oh, right, tell that to literally this woman who can't get an abortion and you have to just let her die. Like, did that not happen? That drives me fucking mad. I hate poor logic. You know what I mean? It's like, oh shit. You got this kid, has horrendous epileptic fits. But seems to me when you, like, you know, wipe this stuff on the sole of their feet or whatever, there's different ways to do it, isn't there? Or drop it under his tongue or whatever. When we do that, we notice that he calms down dramatically, and, you know, the gaps between seizures, or maybe the seizures go away completely. That's what we notice when he takes this calomsol, which is pretty much doing nothing to him other than make him better. But that's illegal, and you could literally go to jail for doing that, for trying to, like, give a child something that stops him from potentially dying and also makes his life a lot more fucking enjoyable. Oh no, you can't do that, it's illegal. Are you out of your fucking mind, bro? Or what? Crazy. Fucking crazy. Drives me nuts. It drives me fucking mental. Just the lack of logic going on there. It's fucking insane. Also, you know, you can, I have the attitude of, just go ahead and do it. You know what I'm saying? I have the attitude of, I'm sure that you can, you know, I'm sure if I wanted fucking CBD oil or, and it probably is CBD that he's taking, you know what I mean? It's probably like the non-psychoactive version of it. The kid's not walking around stoned out of his brain the whole time. You know, it's probably just the CBD, like the good bit. But, like, I'm sure if I wanted it, I could fucking source it from somewhere. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, I feel like someone should fucking step in there and be like, here, don't worry, I know how to use the darknet. I'll sort you out for the minute. And keep that to yourself and just... But then, she is right. You shouldn't have to fucking go to those lengths and fucking put yourself at risk just to try and save your child. Madness. Fucking madness. Let me actually look this up on Google, because I feel like that's... And I mean, there's probably a ton of people could do with this shit. I remember there was a guy who I think had terminal cancer, and he's like, yeah, this is literally like stalling the growth of tumours here and improving my quality of life, which I want to keep at a certain level for my kids and wife. And you're like, but I could still be jailed for taking this shit. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here? Mental. Absolutely mental. What the fuck? Right, I don't know. I don't know if I even know if it is Fight for Billy. All I keep talking about is a boxer here. I'm a fucking asshole. Anyway, someone sent me like that shit. But there you go. Let's get into some questions, guys, because I didn't want this podcast to even go this long, because I am nothing but snot and just failure right now. Notifications, touch my teats. Alright, let's go down. I'm the worst. I'm literally the worst at just saying something and then having to wait for the internet to work for fucking 3 days. If you haven't seen giraffes fighting, Google that shit. Believe you me, if there's a fucking stupid nature video out there, I've seen it. Giraffes fighting, you name it, turtles fucking, I've seen it all, bro. But yeah, what they do is they just smack each other with their necks or with their heads. Let me see, giraffes fighting, know what I mean? Couple of fucking giraffes beating the cunt out of each other. Giraffe battles. Hold on, I blow my nose. I'm gonna play this video. Someone's actually... I'm going to have to go out of that. Jesus Christ, the net. Giraffe fight. Yeah, what they've done there is they've made a music video from it. Oh, that's gross. Did you hear the noise of that? I'm going to put my nose in the background. We hear this.
The old bull won't tolerate a rival. Pushing and shoving, they size each other up.
And we're back.
The young rival seems to think he has a chance.
By the way, how am I going to get sued for playing BBC stuff? Look at that. Whack! They're essentially playing Conkers with their heads here. And they, if I'm not mistaken, one of these cunts dies here.
The first few blows usually settle things in such battles, but here the stakes are high.
It's like having a hammer and a string. They're just like, wadunk. What a terrible thing to be when you're trying to have a fight.
To lose means exile in the desert.
All neck. How'd you get in a fight and every time you got hit, you hit in the throat?
Neither will back down.
It'd be bullshit.
As the fight intensifies, they change tactics. The young male aims for the rump.
The asshole?
The old bull targets his rival's legs.
Ooh. Fuck those legs up, bro. Doosh! Oh, the uppercut. They swing down up onto the body, that'll kill you. Ooh, the rump right in the arse, mate. Yeah, I feel like a headbutt to the leg for a giraffe would be more damaging. You know, it's got these twig legs. Snap them legs off, bro. This music makes everything more interesting. Going at it. Go right, skip to the end. Where's the knockout? Oh, wait, did he kill one?
He knows a knockout blow is coming.
So, is one of them on their knees here? Here we go.
But the old bull ducks.
He ducked it, mate. He ducked it.
And strikes a blow to his rival's underbelly.
Damn, son. Damn. Oh, he took him out with that one? Oh, look at its head whip against the floor. Doosh. Giraffes are fucked when they lie down, aren't they? Holy fucky. That's crazy, because the big one went to like headbutt the other one.
Out for the count.
Out for the count.
And strikes a blow.
Hold on here. Swings. Misses.
But the old bull ducks.
The old one hits him in the underside of the guts. Clink.
And strikes a blow to...
So he knocks him out with a fucking body shot? The fuck, bro? Did he just seriously knock him out with a body shot?
Out for the count.
Out for the count, bro? Dave, what are you talking about? He's literally lying there dead from getting hit in the guts. Oh, look at him ruffling.
The old bull is victorious. But only just.
Oh, look at the asshole on that. Oh, you see, that's the nightmare when you're in Africa somewhere. He won, but the other one was like, hey, but I'm on the ramp. And, his ass looks like just a big load of gunshot wounds because the fucking three hammers on the thing's head. Just bang, bang, bang. You know, his asshole's like hanging half open. Brutal. But he managed to knock that one out with a body shot. Unbelievable. Give me the podcast questions. Someone has retweeted that and then tagged me. It is me, you div. David Neal, do you ever worry Maureen might leave you for someone more attractive? I mean, I feel like if she was going to do it, she'd have done it by now. You know what I'm saying? But she could literally leave me for someone more anything right now. But then again, I could leave her for someone more attractive. You know, what's stopping me doing that? Girls are weird. They don't necessarily fan. In fact, I'm not going to worry about that. And do you know why? Because her list of, like, celebrity you know, bucket list type people, like, if it's seen him, I'd buck him, are all fucking ugly retards. Like, it literally is like a list of, like, oh my god, isn't Jason Segel hot? And you're like, no, no. Oh, Seth Rogen's quite hot. What are you fucking talking about, you lunatic? Like, Chris Pratt, that's another one she fancies. And you're like, is it hot Chris Pratt? I don't even know if it's hot Chris Pratt, or it was like the fat one that was in that other bullshit, what do you call it? Parks and Rec. So, I don't know. I feel like if she was going to leave for someone more attractive, she'd have done it by now. So, David Neal, let's get a look at this guy and see what sort of heap of shite he is while we're on it. That won't work. Let me see. Yeah, also a ragged pile of shit. Congrats to you, David. So, cool, let's move on. Have you watched, oh wait a minute, Google search post-cum guilt. Is it a film? Oh my god, I'm so full of snots right now. I had to cancel a meeting yesterday because I was literally just bleeding out my throat. Not literally, but it felt that way. Post-cum guilt. Why men experience post-O regret. It's a well-documented phenomenon. Ever feeling inexplicably sad after an orgasm? I tend toward feelings... of depression at times. I don't know. Some fucking losers. Just blow a load through your hands in there like you just won a UFC fight. Remember like Chuck Liddell used to win a fight and be like, "Yeah!" Throw his arms out to the side. That's what you're supposed to do. Goddamn champion. Annie McSee, MC, have you watched any of the Scottish comedian Limmy? If not, YouTube Raymond Day. Hell. I have watched a load of it and it's not for me, I'll be honest. Raymond Day... Raymond Day, hell. Right, let's get a go at this. Let me. I have watched a load of his stuff before, but it's not for me. I got annoyed when he did this sketch. He was taking the piss out of like a club comedian doing an MC, and I was just like, you're joking about a thing that you probably can't do. You know, there's this thing that sort of in quotes alternative comedians do when they can't. They can't get, and I've seen it over and over and over again from a load of fucking flaccid, unfunny cunts, where they go like, I'm going to go for the anti-laugh because I can't get an actual laugh, and it's so fucking transparent. You see it all the fucking time, where it's like, oh yeah, here's a list of jokes I would do if I was a real comedian, and then they do a bunch of jokes that get these, like, laughs because they're doing... You know, they're probably hacky, shy jokes, but they're doing jokes which aren't in their set ordinarily. They're like, here's some jokes that I actually have written down that are going to get a laugh because they're jokes. And then I go on to talk about, like, some other fucking depressing shit. And you're like, do you see what's happening here? Like, you're basically going, if I was a funny comedian, here's the type of jokes I would try and write. And then you get laughs for those, and then you go back to the bullshit again. Because you're like, oh, I'm a fucking alternative comedian, and it drives me fucking nuts. To tell some dick jokes and fuck up, will you? Dickhead. Raymond Day, here we go.
Thank you. Hello, my name's Raymond Day, and welcome to Parasite. Okay, let's see where the spirit takes us. Okay, can someone understand, please? I have here a lady who quite recently passed his spirit, an elderly lady who, during her time this side of life, used to keep quite a lot of flowers around her home. I mean, a lot of flowers. This was like a greenhouse.
So he's still like a medium-type person.
You understand this?
Aye.
Okay, because she's telling me that she used to love all the plants she would bring over, but... Oh, she hated those daffodils. You see? She's shown me like a grave and someone's put daffodils there and she's like, oh, get them away from me.
That'll be Steve.
All right, okay. She's now shown me her doing this kind of action, a kind of shushing away action, like she's shushing away like a mouse or a rat or, you know, does she ever have any phobias at all?
She was quite agoraphobic. She couldn't go out much.
No, this is like a phobia of some kind of, like a creepy crawly or some kind.
She didn't like Daddy Longlegs. She was petrified of them.
Daddy Longlegs, quite a scaredy cat, you and Mum.
By the way, guys, I've started this and I really want to stop it, but we're about halfway through now, so let's just power through this.
Isn't she? I'm only kidding. She sounds lovely, your mum. But I'm starting to realise why now she's doing this shushing away action. It's not really a memory from this side of life.
Get to it.
And there's no nice way to put this. She's downstairs. They've put her downstairs. She didn't make it.
Oh, she can't be. She never had a bad bone in her.
Well, they don't stick them down there for nothing, pal. No, she is downstairs because these creepy crawlies you said she's afraid of, what they called?
Daddy Longlegs.
Daddy Longlegs, she's covered in them. Because when I first saw her, I thought she was wearing a sheet, like a ghost, you know, to give me a wee fright, but no, it's because she's covered top to toe in these things, and they're biting her. They're really biting her. And these are wounds that will never heal, because she is downstairs. And what was that other thing you said she was scared of? You said she was scared to go somewhere.
Oh, she was agoraphobic. She was scared to go out.
Scared to go out? They're making her go out. Looking like that. So that's her punishment. Forever. Okay, I'll leave her love with you. Okay, thank you.
So, okay. Who sent me that? Oh, yeah, see, don't ever make me watch some bullshit like that ever again in my whole life. So what you had there was like a medium who was basically saying that someone's granny was in hell, facing her worst fear. I don't know, fuck me. I don't know, I like my things just a bit more venomous and punchy. Do you plan on having kids and raising them in the arts of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Well, at this rate, Spirit of Fox, I haven't done Jiu-Jitsu in about 3 weeks because I've been so fucking busy, and also we were trying to sort a new car and all that bullshit. I just haven't been able to fucking do anything. So I can barely keep myself in it at this point. But yeah, I think it's a phenomenal thing for people to be involved in, especially from a young age. The Fellowship podcast, She's Real But Dicks Are More Banter. Dave Elliott has posted a photo of him and his girlfriend about 4 times there, because on the podcast I did a few podcasts ago with the Fellowship guys, we said, you know, he says he has a girlfriend, but no one's ever seen her. Which is wrong, because I did actually meet her once. Yeah, there he is, in New York, having a... Looks cold there, mate, not gonna lie, looks cold. Interesting medical report from Chris McCulloch. Let me just... I'm really gonna have to rattle through these fucking questions now. I forgot I had Snapchat once, too. Fuck my dick. Oh, my God, with the death. Is this the worst thing to listen to when I'm sick? Load up. Right, let's go on to the next question. Yes, what's the worst and best thing about the comedian Colin Geddes? Any hassle in the streets or any perks, freebies? I mean, yeah, you get the odd freebie type perks, but there's no such thing as a freebie. You know what I'm saying? Like, people will give you shit for free because they want you to fucking advertise it. You know, there's no real straight up freebies. So, you know, Google BVD takedown on YouTube. Sorry, I upset you last month. I don't remember what that was. BVD takedown. What's this bullshit? BVD. Barry Van Dyke.
Who are you?
Steve Sloan, homicide.
it's obviously from some fucking 80s show. This dude just taking people out. Okay. No Ulster Hall gig footage. Ulster Hall gig footage yet, baby. Well, baby. Here's the problem, right? And someone needs to reach out to this motherfucker. It could be me, but I tried and it never came to fruition. One of the cameramen who shot that night sent me a message after. He's like, I forgot to give you one of these cards, one of these memory cards. And I was like, cool. And we tried to meet up a few times. And I thought I was going to meet up with him and he couldn't make it. And I have one of his hard drives. So I might need to send him a message and be like, listen, bro, when can we exchange goods right now? Because I have your hard drive. And, you know, you have the rest of that footage. So I really should make that a point. I'd make a point of doing that. Let me write that, Ulster Hall. And then, of course, comes the pressure of actually trying to fucking put that together and do something with it. But anyhow, I'll keep a fucking eye out for it, won't I? Abstract strangulation of the multidisciplinary emergent removal of metal peniscrotal constrictive device. Strangulation. Did you hear my lungs there? Of strangulation of the genital organs is a rare presentation in the emergency department which requires urgent intervention to avoid long-term complications. Peniscrotal constriction devices are either used for autoerotic stimulus or to increase sexual performance by maintaining an erection for a long period. We report a case of a man who presented with penile strangulation following the application of a titanium penoscrotal constriction ring. I love the way how, like, Maureen is getting into fucking Grey's Anatomy right now for some fucking stupid reason. Which is terrible. Like, the acting in it is so tired. But they talk like that, you know what I'm saying? They're like, we report a case of a man who presented with penile strangulation following the application of a titanium penoscrotal constriction ring during sexual intercourse 7 hours pre. You're like, yeah, the dick ring on, it fucking cock ring, and his dick's purple. The fire brigade department attended with an electric operated angle grinder to facilitate removal of the ring, as standard medical equipment, orthopedic saws, bolt, and bone cutters were insufficient. Fully functional recovery was achieved. Yeah, so there you go. Oh, why the picture? But, oh, didn't know there was going to be a picture. So, yeah, essentially this guy's had some sort of, he's put his dick and balls through a ring, and they're purple. His dick and balls are purple and swollen now. So there you have it. There you have it. Disgusting. I feel sick. Thanks. Unreal. Right, let me rattle through these questions. God damn it. Everyone can calm down and stop asking about Thomas the Tiger Smythe. He's walking his dog in Monkstown. There you go. Ray McCrossan, how many Monster Munch can you fit in your mouth? I mean, the thing about Monster Munch is you never really eat them. You just chew them up and they stay in your mouth. So, God knows, packets upon packets. If you had to live in the 15th century, what would your job be? Probably just carrier of heavy things, I would imagine. Hey, you look strong, but probably not as strong as you look. Do you want to carry this? Sure. If you could have a sandwich named after you, what would be in it and what would you call it? What's my favourite type of sandwich to make? I know I like a lot of spicy shit and I like a lot of weird things, but like if I was in the house and I was like, I wish there was all of these things here at once so that I could make a sandwich, it would probably be like, I would probably take, it would probably just be ham, you know what I'm saying? Like Maureen's ma makes this ham, which is unlike any other ham. Most people cook a ham and they bake it and you're able to slice it up. She does ham the way you would do like a pulled pork, which is just, she cooks it on a stove, on like a fire all night, so every bit of fucking moisture and fat comes out of it, and then covers it in fucking brown sugar and all that shit, and it literally falls apart like string. And that shit with like, just your very basic lettuce, tomato, coleslaw type, or lettuce, tomato, cucumber, Maybe a coleslaw, maybe a salad cream, you know, maybe a dark French mustard. That's literally the nicest sandwich in the world. And I could go crazy and start, you know, throwing fucking pickles and chilies and all and shit, but realistically, that's probably the best sandwich. Dolores Gallagher, what's your process for making videos, like improvisation, or do you write beforehand, or a bit of both? oh my god, it's coughing down the mic. It's funny because I would literally turn a podcast off if someone else coughed down a mic that much. What's your process for making videos? Christ almighty. It depends who it's for. If it's for someone else and they need to like okay it up front, I'll have to write it usually. But if it's for me, I'll just put a couple of points on a page and then fucking... Again, it depends. If I'm doing like any of those daily blenders, I have to write it out just so that I can say it in one go. Oh my god. Death. I am fucking ill. Right, so yeah, that's what I do. I basically, if it's a short video, I just write it out word for word. If it's like a mock docy type thing, I'll just write the scenes out and let it sort of come together by itself. how did you... Oh my god, hold on. I like the video you and the lads did for the IFA. Have you been to an NI game? And if we go to the World Cup, would you go? Basically what happened was, Shane Todd was doing a lot of videos with the IFA. Death! I'm the worst today. And Neil, the producer, was like, oh, do you want to come in and do this video? We'll have this idea. And there was no fucking information about it up front. We just turned up. And it was me, Rory Woods, Kieran Bartlett. Who else was there? Aaron McCann, Connor Keyes. A bunch of the fattest, most uninterested in football, bunch of cunts you could have ever met. And if you really fucking looked at it, probably more supporters of the Republic of Ireland than Northern Ireland, but what can you do? I'm literally going to die here. And they were like, yeah, we're going to remake the Budweiser fucking what the ad. And I was like, fuck me, alright. Wouldn't be my go-to fucking idea, I tell you that. For nothing. But at this point, it's got about 200,000 hits, so who gives a flying fuck? But I had very little hand in that video. I just turned up and said a few lines, and then that was the night we stayed in that Obel Tower, because the producer, Neil, was like, yeah, we have this till the morning. And I was like, cool. Can we stay in it? And he's like, I don't see why not, just don't trash the place. And I was like, no bother, sir. So, that was it. And no, I probably won't even pay any attention to the football, no harm to anybody. Joe McCann, what? How did you find those assholes yelling out at the gig in London? We were in the front and they were the fucking worst. It's alright, it wasn't that fucking bad. Like, I've had way worse than that. But yeah, there is an obnoxious English cunt vibe that you get from people. No harm to any English cunts, but there is that sort of like, yeah, you fucking brr, you know, like, typical fucking, like, I don't know, it's just that type of person, isn't it? Yeah, the type that would, you know, like, kick a tramp to death, those sort of guys. Have you watched the show Letterkenny yet? This is from Johnny Nellens. Is there any subjects you stay clear of when doing stand-up? Have you watched the show Letterkenny? I have seen a little bit of it. I was introduced to it by Tom the Bear O'Mahony. But I haven't really watched that much of it. I like it. I like that style, though. The lines in it are class. Is there any subjects you stay clear of when doing stand-up? Just ones that I... No, not really. If there's something funny about something, like it, I'll do it. But I feel like if... The amount of, you know, quote-unquote dodgy shit I talk about... Edgy, bro. I'm pretty decent at talking about it and not getting any shit about it for some reason. I talk about a lot of weird, you know, horrific shit, but no one's ever pulled me up on it, like, so... I think I'm alright at just walking the line slightly. Fergal McGorman ever had a fight, not sparring or training, an actual disagreement with someone with ended up, not since it was way younger or was playing rugby, but an actual fight in public, no, not really. I would avoid it at all costs, because it's fucking retarded, and I hate when people get drunk and have fights. Like, it does not make sense to me at all. I would literally just avoid it. I would just fucking walk away and look like a fucking asshole and be like, nah, because here's what's gonna happen. Either you beat the shit out of me, you might knock me out, and then fucking bunch of your mates kick me in my fucking unconscious head, or I hit you once and you hit the floor and die. And I'm like, what was the point of any of that? You know? So, nah, I would avoid it at all costs. I nearly had a fight in fucking Oma the other week. Some guys tried to take my hat. And I was like, you can't do that. You can't just take my shit because you're drunk and you think you can do it. And I felt like, not that he was a big guy, but you can feel when someone's big and weak. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I could feel that he was light, even though he was a big guy. I was like, I would fucking just tombstone you through the floor right now. But I'm going to have to not do that, because the night is ruined either way. Even if you win a fight, it's like, oh, we're going to phone the police now. You're getting chucked out of the hotel you're staying in just because this guy's a fucking dildo. I don't know. It's so stupid. Like, real fighters fight people fight for fucking sport and money. You know what I'm saying? You don't fight like a dickhead in the street. Please don't get a burrito from Guacamole McGlinchey. This isn't a question, more of a plea. Don't get a burrito from Guacamole beside Lavery's, the thing near killed me. Yeah, well, nothing says food poisoning like a Chinese / Mexican fusion takeaway. Although, if you're looking at an after-hours rave, that is the spot. I don't know, I've never eaten it, to be honest with you, but I'll take your word for it. It won't stop people going in there and fucking having a rave and eating a sweet chili chicken. Jimmy Winter, Oma Comedy Squad gig was class, laughed my bag off. How mad are Mickey's eyebrows? Mickey's eyebrows are indeed mad, yes. Oh shit, what the fuck? They didn't like Kieran much up there. No, they did not. Let me put my phone on flight mode here. They did not like him. No, it was just that woman. She was a fucking up her own hole a wee bit. She came up to him and was like, can I say something to you? No. Alright, I'm going to say it anyway. You're very arrogant and blah, blah. And you're like, just shut up and fucking watch it. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, is there anyone dead or alive, celebrity or otherwise, you'd like to do a comedy roast on? Nah, not really. I don't really like roasts. I did it for Mickey's, like, but fuck it. They didn't much like Kieran up there. I mean, Kieran is a very... polarising cunt, isn't he? You either get what he's doing, or else people are just completely turned off by it. Let me rattle through these questions here. You versus Kane Toomey in a fight, what would happen? I'd probably beat him to death. Thoughts on Chance the Rapper staying independent and is taking $500,000 from Apple Music really independent? I mean, it's just in this day and age when you've got the internet at your fucking fingertips. You know, you just you put songs out for free, then people come see you. That's how you make your money. I don't really know the ins and outs of the music business. Are you gay for Trump? No. What do you think of Kevin Smith's podcast empire? Could you ever see yourself going that route? Probably, but mine's not in any way big enough to even start a network. Favourite type of dog? You have to say just Labrador, don't you? Just black Labrador, probably the best types of dog. Although I do like a Border Terrier and any form of French Bulldog, English Bulldog, or any sort of that shit. Have you watched Young Offenders on Netflix? No, I haven't, but I'd like to. The Irish film about them stealing coke. Any chance of a gig up North Coast over the summer? Comedy Squad, head up the Remore for a feed in a session. Yeah, get us in the Remore for a fucking free dinner and then we'll do a gig somewhere else. Would you ever get blocked and do a podcast? What's your maddest Paddy's Day story? Up a Provost. Yeah, I would get drunk and do a podcast, no sweat. It's just I do most of them in the morning, and I'm not going to be sitting here now getting steaming. A comedy squad night in Queen's Student Union would be some decent shout. Why don't you just walk down the street to Queen or the fucking Laveries, you lunatic? And here's the problem. I'll not be doing a gig in Queen's Student Union because I do Laveries, and the guy who runs Queen's would never fucking have me there, same way they'd never have me in the Empire. Not that I really give a fuck, but yeah, they sort of have the mentality of like, oh, he runs that, so he takes customers away from us, so he can't gig here. But yeah, if you want to see any of those squad people, whatever your fucking name is, Owen, Aiden, what is that? Just walk down the fucking street and go to Laveries, you mental. How hairy is your hole, you hear ye? Was that the last question? Why is that always the last question? It's mental. What was it? How hairy hole? Yeah, pretty hairy, like. I mean, I'm a hairy bastard. I mean, there's a photo of me beside a stuffed bear at that Museum of Comedy, and I said to Maureen, I was like, can you take a photo of me beside this giant bear? And she goes, you know, you're like, your dimensions are bigger than that fucking bear, and you're probably hairier. And I was like, all right, just take the picture, you fucking lunatic. Outrageous. Guys, I think that's the end of the questions. I think I might have to knock this in the head right now because I just have to go, you know, just put a power hose up my nostril here. Cheers for listening once again. Cheers for everyone who came out to both Laveries and indeed our London shows. Laveries is back this Friday, guys. How about that? Friday show. John Cleary's playing. Get your tits to that. It's going to be amazing. And that's about all I have to fucking tell you right now. I'm going to get out of here and just doing full enema on my nose. Take her easy, guys, and speak to you later. Bye.